Ask the commission if it has questions.
Yes. Mr. Swift, we're very grateful for your being here today, and I want to remind you, as you may or may not have heard this morning, that you have an opportunity to make a statement of your own, if you wish now or at the conclusion of the questions by the members of the commission. I'd like to start in this case with Mr. Hennix. Do you have a question?
Yes, I don't have many questions, but in your opening statement, Mr. Swift, you were saying that there's a difference now in the attitudes of the younger inmates that's coming in. But at the same time, you're saying that when you came in, you had a lot of vim, vigor, and vitality. I think those are the words you used.
Yes.
And because of this, you got in quite two fights at least, accused of gambling and moving around the institution without proper authorization.
That's right.
Now, I'd like to know, how is this attitude different, or the attitude of the young men that's coming in today different than that attitude?
To answer that, I believe I can state it this way, that every era and every group age has their own thoughts, their own ways of acting, and their own ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm. I guess, but no, I don't think, maybe I have to rephrase it. See, because I felt in the beginning you were saying that the inmates today have no respect for authority, and that you believed in authority at this point in time. And I think it was also suggested perhaps you matured, and now and behind that you became calmer and you got the kind of work that you wanted. And I'm just wondering if you can see any of yourself as you were at 28 years old, 18 years ago, and the young men is coming in prison today.
Yes and no on that. No on the part that when you knew you had to do a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. and you knew how you had to do it the best way you could, mm-hmm. you went about it that way. Mm-hmm. And as far as the yes part, sure.
Where the officer had the stick and was compelled to use it?
No, sir.
You never
Matter
seen
of
that?
In fact, while I was working in the hospital even, mm-hmm. I never had to go up to HBZ to check anybody out that was, as you would say, used, that was a stick was used on them.
But did you ever have to go out there to check them out maybe for having a gas pellet thrown in their cell? Or,
no, sir.
Or no inmates ever came to the hospital, to your knowledge, because of brutality?
No, sir.
Inflicted by officers?
No, sir.
All right. The second part of my question is, at present you're working with, what group was that you said?
It's the RJI.
RJI.
Rochester Jobs Incorporated. Mm-hmm. And some people say that they're hardcore and the kids that got thrown out of school. Mm-hmm. But I can't see it myself, because the only hardcore people are the people that want to make themselves so. Mm-hmm. And these kids don't want to be that way.
So, but you can, in the final analysis, with all things considered and the conditions being adequate, you could work and get along with young people.
Yes, sir. Well, I could.
Thank you.
Mr. Rothschild?
No questions.
Mrs. Guerrero?
Just two comments, Mr. Swift, on what you said. One is very significant to me. You spoke about the inequality of sentencing for the same crimes.
Yes.
Leading to a kind of loss of morale. This is significant. It's not a question. It's merely an observation that you brought out. The other is, I didn't know that the screen had such a romantic history about it. I was of the impression, and I think many of us was, that it was perhaps a barrier to passing things. I didn't know it had this, as I say, romantic...
It's for both things.
...authorship.
It can be both, used both ways or taken both ways, either way.
I see. Then my only question is about, what were your duties? Were you called a nurse up there?
I was.
You mentioned that you are not a registered nurse.
No, sir, I'm not.
Did you dispense advice or medication at this time?
Yes, sir.
Under the supervision of a doctor?
Under the supervision of a doctor or a registered nurse.
Is there or are there any registered nurses?
Let me see. 1, 2, 3. There's 6 registered nurses and 1 licensed practical nurse.
Are these female nurses or?
There's
male?
2 female and the rest are men.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Mrs. Watworth?
Mr. Swift, I'm interested in the idea of the length of sentences as an idea, as a concept. You were certainly there 19 and a half years and saw many people come and go in short sentences and long sentences. There is talk today in some sections of maybe 10 years is a long enough sentence for no matter almost what the crime, that there is a maximum. Do you feel that that correction and rehabilitation can take place within a shorter number of years? It's either going to happen or it isn't going to happen, that these very long 40 years to life sentences are unreal and wrong? Or do you have any comment on the idea of length of sentence and how an inmate is rehabilitated or comes into society in a better way?
On that, I think that I can safely say that an inmate that wants to rehabilitate or get rehabilitated can help himself by self-rehabilitation. Now, he can also turn around and say, well, I'm going to fight this system. Then there's no matter what type of rehabilitation they have, they're not going to... You have in any institutions, they're not going to accept it when they're like this.
Mr. Swift, does the length of time, then, of sentence, you're not improving by a longer sentence?
A longer sentence doesn't mean... if you can't rehabilitate yourself within, we'll say, 10 years, you can't do it in 50 years.
Thank you.
Mr. Carter?
I just want to explore for a moment a question that was raised by both Mr. Lyman and Mr. Hennix. And what I would really like to know with more specificity, if I can, why is it that you feel, and you answered the question of Mr. Lyman, that it was fair to say that you related better to the officers than to the younger inmates? I'm not sure I understood the answer, and I like that.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the question he asked me was, can an older inmate relate better to an officer than the younger inmates? And I said yes.
Why is that?
It comes right down to the same principle. You acclimate yourself to that you have to do a certain length of time, and you do it the best way you know how. Now, if you want to fight a system, then you fight it. If you want to go along with the system and try to help yourself, good. Then you help yourself at the same time, like that.
And you think that the younger men are engaged in fighting the system and not attempting to rehabilitate themselves. Is that what I got?
As a majority, no. There's always a minority that will do that. But as a majority, the answer would be no.
I see.
Mr. Wilbanks? Mr. Swift, I have 1 or 2 questions that relate to the period exclusively before September 9th. I'm sure you're aware that one of the common complaints made by the inmates is about the quality of the medical service. Since you were there and saw that dispensed regularly, what's your opinion of the quality of the medical service?
My opinion is this, that if you have an inmate coming to you day after day, week after week, and one day he'll come in with a headache, next day he'll come in with a stomach ache and ask for APCs, 5 days off because he doesn't want to go to his work. And the next day I'll come in, well, I turned my ankle, so you send him back to get x-rayed. And this doesn't really... Well, the real problem is trying to screen the people that are sick, that are really sick, out. I think that would be the best way to answer your statement, Mr. McKay.
Your opinion, then, is that the quality of medical service was good when it was possible to determine that there was a genuine illness?
Right.
How, what attempts were made to screen out those who were not seriously in need of medical care?
Well...
And what was the attitude of the doctors and the inmates in making that determination?
I didn't have too much to do with the setup in the where the doctors held a sick call. I was in the emergency room where they, if the doctors wanted tests done, they'd send them in there, and then I'd send them back to where they were supposed to go, or if they wanted their ears cleaned, or if they... wanted dressings changed, I'd do that. And, but as far as that goes on out there, I'm not qualified to say.
Again, before September 9th, on how many occasions would you estimate that you saw a correction officer use more force than was necessary in dealing with an inmate? Was it a frequent occasion, or seldom, or never?
I don't remember of ever seeing that happen.
What about what we sometimes call verbal abuse by correction officers to inmates? Harassment, unpleasant names.
Well, that's something that I've never heard because... Being up in the hospital all the time, I never was, you know, the last 6 years, I've never been around the block.
Well, before that time.
That time, unless they was kidding with the inmate, which some of them would do, never.
Did you ever during that period see an inmate strike an officer?
Yes, I have.
What kind of occasion and what reaction?
It was a fight out in the yard. And, the inmate swung at the other inmate, and the officer got hit and got knocked and was knocked down.
But that was an exceptional occurrence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mr. Swift, you recall that you have an opportunity to make a statement if you wish.
Yes, sir.
Would you like to?
Yes, sir. I was asked by one of the reporters today at noontime in the back while I was talking to Sergeant Cochran. The statement was made about clubs, nightsticks, and that. And he asked me if I ever heard of a nightstick being called a nigger stick. And at that time, I told him no comment, because I was going to comment on that while I was on here. And that is this. I have never, while in prison, and I'm not only talking about New York State, I'm talking also about Pennsylvania and Illinois, never heard of a nightstick being called a nigger stick.
Was there anything else you wish to say?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Swift, I just wanted to ask you a few questions, picking up on what was said, and I think perhaps an amplification of it. Mr. Hennix brought back to mind the fact that you had had your difficulties as a young man in the institution, and you had been keep locked for various things.
Yes, sir.
But is it fair to say that you were never involved in an offense of insubordination?
Well, the only time I was, I cussed out an officer and I got keep locked for it.
And that was a long time ago.
That was back in 1956.
And
I can tell you the officer's name to this day.
And whatever the offenses were that led to keep locking, in all of your years in prison, you only were involved in insubordination once.
As far as cussing out an officer, yes.
And that was
but
even though...
But disobeying some of the officer's commands? There's been a couple other times that I've been keep locked.
They've been rather infrequent.
That's right.
And that's so even where you recognized that the rule was unreasonable?
Mr. Lyman, as far as that goes, when you're in prison, every rule seems to be unreasonable to you. But then, after you sit down and think about it a while, then you say, well, they have made these rules for a special reason.
How long did it take you before you thought it out and came to that conclusion? How many of these years?
About 8 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
I have no further questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Swift, for being with us today.